John 20, we'll read to verse 19. Now on the first of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and saw the tomb, all the stone already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Stay a while. They have taken away the Lord out of the tombs, and we do not know where they have laid them. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, and the two were running together. And every disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter therefore also came following him and entered the tombs, and he beheld the linen wrapping lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrapping, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who had first come to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Oh, you talk about flow of hearts. So the disciples went away again to their own home. Verse 10, so the disciples went away again to their own home. And the next two words, but Mary. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? He said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her the same thing, Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Praise God. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. He turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni. And Jesus said, Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I've seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. There's no way that we can love you. And there's no way that we can believe. And we cannot love someone we have not been. We cannot love someone we have not handled. That means that the responsibility is really upon you. Kill us. Yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
Donde te vuelvo a ver, el me me sale el número de cote.
I am about through with that entertainment porn. They all grew up.
I'm assisting some buddies in harvest holly corn. Come to enter the tea to better. Match your tashadna.
Thank you. You should.
Arcula. Feel ashamed, eh?
To give us an inculpable law for our law. Oh, wait till I crowd upon you. To do all these things that.
Whoop. Up down, right?
Here in this room, find your locker. I want you to know that I would love tonight. I just love to see a new era in church history be born this evening.
Amen.
Hey, pray more.
I just really am all for it. I'm not going to stand in the way if it's possible.
Well,
there was God, and He was love, and He had no place to love, and He had no counterpart because His nature was one, and yet there was a paradox in His being. He needed a place for His loves to go, and He had an idea that had never been had before, and that idea was another God, someone to match Him. And some way He counseled within Himself and counted what that would take to have, and He began. He had a creation. Some way in that decision He made, it necessitated that He have something visible. I don't know why, but He did. He made man, the most perfect and the highest of all His creature, in order that out of that man He might have His counterpart. He would have to create something, but it would be short of His counterpart, so He would have to be altered Himself and come into His creation. It was too low for Him, and raise it higher. And in that created being, He would find His counterpart. That created being called man fell. I tell you, I don't know why God did this, but God made the decision that it was going to be man. And if He ever had a wife, a love, a true beloved woman, if He ever had a bride, He was still determined that she would come from that fallen, hideous creature. I'm not using too strong a word. You know how tragic we are. I have a notion that since last Sunday night when I saw you, every one of you have been a tragedy. Is that not true? It's just been a tragedy. He decided that out of that fallen creature, He would still get His bride. Well, the whole Old Testament is a story of the, not of that bride, but of the picture of that bride. Is it a beautiful story? Most of it not so pretty. Can you imagine God having a difficulty finding one who would say yes to Him? Yet I would say probably if we could talk to the Lord face to face, He would have to say this is in one of us not His greatest difficulty. A woman who would take her position beside him. That's incredible. The whole Old Testament is the story of that tragedy. God left out. God not wanted. The Lord of the universe not wanted by the girl. That's impossible to believe. And yet that is the story of the Old Testament. I tried to put something into you the other night, and that is that when Jesus Christ broke out of the pictures and he got down to reality, there was fire in his eye, and he said, I have looked at a picture for 1,000 years, turn its heart away from me. I have come for my body, and I will tolerate no interference. I'm going to have her, and nothing will distract me from her, and once I give her, nothing will distract her from me. That was the burning intent of his day. And you can see it if you read the Gospels carefully. You can see her heart. Well, he marked down everything that might stand in the way. Can you just, what would you just say if you could say in one nice conclusive sentence, what stood in the way of him having this beautiful woman? What? We got everything here, okay? That's not a sentence, but it's inclusive. All right, that I accept that. That's really what I wanted to hear. I think I would like to hear a scriptural term, if possible, or something close to it. Okay, then I will say, the world more inclusive in the world. The what? The whole fall, all right? These are, here's the thought I had. It's no better than anyone else's. I was going to say the whole human race.
Well,
I was going to say more than that. And Brother Allen said it. The whole creation stood in the way. It was fallen. Everything in it was distracted from the Lord. The whole human race was distracted from him. The whole human race had no heart for the Lord. Have you ever read Romans 3? They're all together become unprofitable. They've all turned aside. There's none that something's the Lord. Seeks after God. No, not one. None. They've all together become corrupted. They've all together become sinful. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right. This was man. That was the race. God just drew history out there in front of him, and he watched the beginning of time to the end, and some way in this initiation of time, God was able to stand there in eternity and watch every creature being born and living before they were ever born or lived. And before he even made the foundation of the world, he saw the world. Before he laid the foundation of the earth, he saw you. Now, I want you to know, I cannot understand this. This was even before the fall. Maybe the Lord didn't even see the fall. Gee, I've never been God. I just don't know what God sees. All I can tell you is that in a way that is divine and only God can understand, before he ever made the human race, there were a select few creatures in whom he fell madly in love. Now that love was the love of the Spirit, because God is Spirit. There's not one of you in this room but what has a very low esteem of yourselves. Is that not true?
Very low.
Well,
Most of the time. Except when you're with brothers and sisters. When you're in the kingdom and know it. But brother, how many of you have a boss? You work for a living, you're paid a salary, you have a boss right over you. Would you raise your hand? Put your hand down. Now I want to ask you another question. Do you feel like he likes you? How many of you really would say, you really don't think he likes you so well? Would you put your hand back up? Okay, all right. You work?
He likes me, but don't.
But you're not your worst, huh? How many of you would say you feel that your employer is less than satisfied with you? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Thank you very much. And you live under that all the time, don't you? No, sure. I know that feeling. Sister and brother, there just comes with that a sense of unworthiness. That I'm on the bottom of the pile. I'd like for you to consider the millions and millions of people that God passed over and stopped and fell in love with you.
Praise the Lord.
Now, that's touching. But, brothers, if it ended there, that would be great. But that's not near the end of where that love drove him. For one thing, it drove him to become a creature. It drove him to become a creature. That was no small thing. Then he stepped into time and into this fallen human race. This insect-like creature. I don't want to put him down too badly, but I would like for you to see from God's view, man had fallen so far from his original state, and God took on the form of that fallen thing with its passions, its problems, and its temptation. And he identified himself with you so much, he knows exactly what it's like. That is insignificant compared to the driving force of the love behind him. He came almost with a sword. He was after those whom he had fallen in love with before the foundation of the earth. Deed is after you. Brother Frayne, he was after you. Clayton, he was even after you. Praise God. He was there to get you. He was there to have you. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. My wife pointed out to me the other day, that probably does not mean he gave him to the cross. But rather literally, he gave him as a gift to the whole world. He presented Jesus Christ to the world he fell in love with. Jesus Christ came to this earth to get you. And it was just, he had a rubber. And there was a big problem, and he meant to solve it. Now then, he saw all these things that stood between he, himself, and his counterpart, the woman whom he had fallen in love with before he ever created the universe. Capriciously fell in love. And you happen to be what? That person. I'm not going to say part of that person. Okay, you tell me what stood between him and his counterpart. Name them. Wait, wait, wait. I better take them one at a time. Let's get one. Satan?
World?
Powers and principalities, sin and sins, death, flesh, world system, the whole human race, inside the world system, the religious system, okay? The whole fallen creation. There is one other thing, and what was that? his own personal state, which was a state of what?
What?
Oneness. A state of oneness. He was not like his creation. His whole creation was created in twos. Two what? Two lions, two elephants, two giraffes, two flies, two fleas, two cows, two horses. What didn't have two? God. What else didn't have two? The angels and men started out not having two. All right. Here's the fallen rate. He stepped into time. He grows up. On the day he's baptized, he becomes totally God. And he is also totally man. A Jewish man is considered a man totally arrived at total complete maturity, age 30. Jesus Christ was rested upon by God at the age of 30. He is now totally God, totally man. He steps forth. I can almost see him with a sword. He looks around. It's complete. He has entered time after all of eternity and all of time with the passion of love for a counterpart in him. He's arrived. And here is another species, not his own. What is that species? Tell me what it is. Fallen man. Now he walks the earth. Does he have anyone like his own species? There's no one else on the whole planet like his species. And he just counts, I've got to get my own species out of this species. This is where it must go. A lot of sin to be forgiven. A lot of corruption to be put away. Just a lot of things. And I must be divided. Oh, we went through a lot of things the other night. Do you recall them? We went through many stories. The temptation. We told a story about the little girl, the young maiden, who had seven demons cast out of her. And she also had one other thing happen to her. All of them. She had her sins forgiven. We talked about the things the Lord marked throughout his whole 3.5 years of ministry. Then we came to right before he died, and we looked at a brother who? John. John was getting a little smarter. John discovered something. What was it? And the Lord wanted to be loved in return. Well, if you ever had to choose to be one of the 12 disciples, which one would you be? Would you? I think John would choose to be John, because he knew something no one else knew. I think if there were any of the other disciples who were jealous, I would say they were mostly jealous of John. You know, it must have been a startling thing to see the Lord so more of the good boy. Well,
brother and Victor,
that is not all of that story before he is crucified. The Lord did not have to die for you and for me. What was the motivating power that put him through that terrible, tragic night? One thing's, yes, obedience to the Father. But love, brother. Love precedes the obedience. You don't obey out of duty. Love for what? For what? For you. For you. Love for you. I don't mean I feel sorry for love for you. I mean a passion to have you, to be satisfied, to come finally to satisfaction, to have a place for that driving love to go. My brothers, when he died on the cross, he took every enemy with him Now then, here's where I ask you, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Aye, then what did he take to the cross? And he took all creation to the cross. Was that enough? Was that enough? He also took himself to the cross. So those of you who might have missed the meeting the other night, God is the only reality in the universe. There isn't any other reality. Everything else, picture. Okay, if that is true, who is the only one who can truly die? God alone can truly die. Man, fallen man, is the picture of Jesus Christ. Can he die? He can kind of die. All right, Adam kind of died. He was put to sleep, and God took out a rib from him. Did God create a woman? What did he do? He built her out of what? Adam. Okay. Now then, on the cross, Jesus Christ died. And God saw to it that his side was also open. For what reason? For building. For the purpose of building. Building what? Okay, his bride. Anybody else want to say anything else?
God will.
Okay. Praise the Lord. The rest of the new species and the first of the new creation. God was left in that hour without anything. It was a terrible moment. From God's viewpoint, there was nothing left in the universe but his eternal spirit. God, just down to the bare essentials, just the eternal spirit. Christ had utterly died. And in that death, he was able to do the same thing a seed can do. He was able to be divided. And God reached into his side and drew out blood, which speaks as humanity, and drew out water, which tells us of divinity. God started getting the rest, the other half of that Stacy. And he started getting for the first time his counterpart. Now we come to fact, to real, genuine fact. Even in the 3 years the Lord spoke, he spoke often as though he had already been crucified in order to tell people what they would be and what they would become. But now we come to the hour when the cross is over with. Now, I would like to ask you one more time. Is the creation put away? You say no? Why?
Because it's dead.
All right, sister, I'm glad you said no. Sister, you're wrong. Completely, 100% wrong. But Jean, that is foolish. I see it here before me. Sister, you see it before you. I see it before me. You all see it before you. Is this not true? God doesn't see it. Now, sister, either God is wrong or we are wrong. Now, sister, obviously, who is wrong? No. Obviously, God is wrong. Look. What is this thing? What is this? What is this? It is the old fallen creation. You know it's here. I know it's here. But what is God's opinion? It's not here. Now you know and I know that we are right. Right?
They were. And God is wrought. Brother, laugh if you wish, but you'll never get to a more important point. And that is that even when God is wrong, he's right. God drew the boundaries of that which is real and unreal, true and lie, righteousness and sin. His standard is the standard. God says that on the cross it was all put away, and through his eyes it is all gone. Now that he decided that, he's the one who makes the rule. He set the bound. He is looking through his eyes. His eyes are the only one that are important. He's wrong. I know it. You know it. But let's pull on. Now, brothers and sisters, that has been called trooping, positional truth. And it has also been called something else very dear. And that is the accomplished or the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, there are very few people who know or have ever heard the term the finished work of Jesus Christ. Most Christians in the world do not stand in the perspective of God and look at the finished work of Jesus Christ. Many have heard, not all, less than half, maybe only a fifth or a sixth have ever heard our positional truth. Most Christians have never heard of the finished work of Jesus Christ, completed. Now, I would like to take this truth that maybe one-fourth or one-fifth of Christians have heard about, called positional truth, and I would like to dump it in the garbage can forever.
But what about the finished work on Jesus Christ? What about that?
What shall we do with that?
What?
Believe it. Believe it. Is that what you said? Praise the Lord, Tails. They both gotta go.
They both stand in the way of what the Lord wants.
Now, brothers, when you get to talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ, you have just marched right out into space. And I would like to say tonight that the finished work of Jesus Christ gotta go. As far as that goes tonight, just about everything's got to go. All of it. Everything. I have a point to make. I may not make it, but I have it to make, whether I make it or not. Okay. He was crucified on what night? Friday evening. He was put in the tomb by whom? And Joseph and Nicodemus. Well, I think that Nicodemus became a believer in Jesus Christ. If I would ask you to prove that Nicodemus became a believer of Jesus Christ and to prove it scripturally, could you do it? Anyone in here who could raise their hand and say, I can do it. I can prove that he became a believer. I think somebody in here can. All right, Paul, prove him.
I believe he bought some really expensive oil.
He bought expensive oil and embalmed the Lord. He helped Nicodemus put his body in a new... Joseph, to put his body in a new hewn tomb. Oh, can you prove he was a believer? He was a seeker, but prove to me he became a believer. Someone in here ought to be able to. It's real simple. Yes, brother? Only two people were present when Jesus Christ talked to Nicodemus. And it got in the New Testament. Jesus didn't tell the story. Who told him? Has it been Nicodemus? I believe he's a brother. He handled the body of Jesus Christ. Okay, he had some sort of robe on, we assume. Then they wrapped his body in some sort of grave clothing, and they put many oils and spices on him before they wrapped the cloak around him. Then they put another cloth, a separate cloth, upon his head and wrapped it around his head. They laid him in the tomb. I'm not going to go into this, but there's more than implication from the words used in the Greek that it was a giant stone that was rolled against the door. It was either a big cartwheel-like affair that rolled this way, or it was a huge, natural, round stone rolled that way. Probably it was a cartwheel kind of a thing rolled this way. Very big, very heavy. Far more than even 3 or 4 or 5 people could move, probably. It's pushed there against the door. It was sealed for all time. Saturday passed. It has to be the blackest day in all history. God is there for the disciple. Gall scattered everywhere. Now, who was the last person who ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? The thief on the cross was his last convert. The last?
Maybe the only believer that day. Probably the only one who believed in him that day.
Probably he didn't say it. Probably that's not what he said. He probably said, "Oh, there is a Son of God." Not the Son of God. A Son of God. Speaking of a holy man. I don't know about it. No one knows about this soldier. Okay. Now, brothers and sisters, on Saturday, did the Lord Jesus Christ have any followers? Let's just say, more or less, he had no followers. He was dead. And yet that's not exactly true. Now we come to the real point. It's 3 a.m. about. And a story begins to unfold, the like of which there's no other story like it in all of history. This is the love story. Early, early, early in the morning. Oh, long before 5. Long before 4. While it is still pitch black and there's not another human being up in all of Jerusalem, someone gets out of bed and gets up. Who is it?
Mary who?
Mary Magdalene. She goes over and picks up some oil and spices that she bought late Saturday night when the store is open when the Sabbath is over. Where is Jesus Christ? Where is him? Tell me. In what is his state? He is dead. Utterly, totally dead. This young girl, this maiden, this little girl, may I call her that? This little girl. Gets up. Dresses. Gets the spices and the oils. These embalming material. She heads for the tomb. What is it? Do you know what this is?
This is unprecedented. What is this?
Huh? A follower of whom? Of Jesus Christ.
But he is dead.
Is she really still following him?
Yeah. But he's dead.
That doesn't matter to her a bit.
Alive?
Or dead? She loved him.
Alive or dead, he is for Lord.
Well, is he gone? Is he dead?
Is she still his disciple? Then I ask you a question. Is that love?
That's love.
Someone who will follow Jesus Christ, dead or alive. Someone who will believe in God. Believe in the Lord as the Son of God.
Even though he had died. Did he have any other disciple like?
Never.
Nobody.
Let me ask you a question. Has God ever died for you? Wait a minute, I don't mean died for your sin. Has your God ever died? Have you ever lost your God? Judge says yes. I have to say yes.
What? My Lord, just playing.
Die? You mean 2,000 years ago? No, I mean he died.
I could not find him. He was utterly dead. And I mean that literally, it was as though he would die. Had you ever had God to be that far gone? I know that some of you perhaps had not. Do you have the heart of a Mary Magdalene?
Can you love him dead?
Hold on to that. Someday the Lord may ask you that question himself. Can you love me when I disappear? Can you love me dead? She loved him dead. She gathered some other sisters up, according to the other gospel account. It's not mentioned in John. I'd rather tell it the way John told it. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb with one thought in her mind. How am I going to get that great big rock pushed out of the way? Gigantic rock. Did that prevent her from going to a tomb? This little girl had a certain element of madness in her. She got the spices. She got up to go love a dead Goth. And she was going to go finish the embalming procedures, the burial procedures. She had no idea how to get through that rock. I just got one thing to tell you. She loved him. Do you believe Mary Magdalene loved Jesus Christ? If I were to ask you to prove that Mary Magdalene was in love with Jesus, could you prove? How could you prove it, Marilyn? Okay. Anybody else?
Blinded by love, she could eat.
Yes, she had been forgiven. There's a very simple reason. Because the Bible said she did. As far as I go, it was Jesus Christ who said it. He looked at her and he said, Simon, I'll ask you a question. Who loves more, the ones forgiven more or the one forgiven less? He said, more, teacher. And he said, you're right, Simon. So it is with this girl. Did Jesus Christ know Mary Magdalene loved him? The Bible said she loved him. Let us settle this once and for all. Mary Magdalene was in love with Jesus Christ. A little bit? A lot? How much? Madly, passionately in love with the Lord. Let me tell you, it's not Mary Magdalene's love for Jesus Christ, Mary. Let me tell you something. Did she belong to the fallen human race?